Good morning. We welcome you to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. We're glad that you've tuned in this morning. The title of our lesson this morning is God Sits on a Throne. I think about the psalmist who wrote in Psalm 47 in verse 8, God reigns over the nations. God sits upon his holy throne. We think about this topic this morning in light of recent events. There is the gun violence, the shooting, the recent story and out in San Bernardino, California. We have the terrorism in Paris just a few weeks ago. And there are different kinds of world events that trouble us and that bother us. And we wonder why all of these things are happening and if anything is ultimately going to be done, who is in control. And it just seems like the world is out of control. And so I wanted to bring us a lesson this morning from God's Word entitled, God Sits on a Throne. I believe many people have not learned or they have forgotten where God is in relationship to His creation. Where is God right now? What is God doing right now? Many people, I believe, have their own idea of God. And their problem is that their idea of God does not match up with the biblical picture of God. It's just simply their own idea, what they think and what they feel. And I believe many people have a flippant familiarity with God. By that I mean they just have a casual idea of God. They're not serious about Him. They don't have a true biblical picture of Him. They might believe that God is in heaven, but they don't know what He's doing. They don't know what His true character is. And so I thought it would be good for us this morning to remind ourselves from the Bible that God sits on a throne, and He's sitting on His throne this very minute, and He's ruling and reigning over His world, and we need to remember that. I'd like to begin this morning by going back, and if you have your Bibles as you're listening and you'd like to go get your Bible, I would encourage you each time you listen to the Let the Bible Speak program to get your Bible out. And if you don't have a Bible and we can help you get one, we'd be glad to do that. But get your Bible out and read along with me. I wanted to read several Psalms before we begin our lesson or as an introduction to our lesson to remind us that we serve a God who is majestic. He is awesome. He is august. That is, He is a very powerful being, and He is a very sovereign being, and we need to remember that. I want to begin with Psalm 47, verses 7 and 8. Psalm 47, verses 7 and 8. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the nations. God sitteth upon His holy throne. God is reigning over all of the nations, the United States, those troubled nations in the Middle East and all around the world. God is in control, ultimately. It may not look like it. We might not feel that way. It might look like it's out of control, but ultimately, God is working His plan and His purpose. I think about Psalm 89 in verse 7. There are several psalms that speak about God sitting on His throne. Psalm 89 and verse 7 reads, a God very terrible in the council of the holy ones, and to be feared above all them that are round about Him. We don't need to have some sort of a casual attitude toward God. We need to fear God and reverence and respect Him. In the same Psalm 89, verse 14, righteousness and justice are the foundation of thy throne. Loving kindness and truth go before thee. And so, God is going to righteously and justly look at His world and rule over it. God also is full of loving kindness and truth toward those who will obey Him, but He's full of righteousness and justice toward those who do not. I think about Psalm 93. Really, all of Psalm 93 is a psalm about the majesty of the Lord. Psalm 93, verse 1. Jehovah reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. Jehovah is clothed with strength. He hath girded Himself therewith. The world also is established that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Jehovah, the floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. Above the voices of many waters, the mighty breakers of the sea, Jehovah on high is mighty. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thy house, O Jehovah, forevermore. And so the majesty of the Lord. Turn with me to Psalm 103 and verse 19. Psalm 103, verse 19. Jehovah hath established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless Jehovah, ye his angels, that are mighty in strength, that fulfill his word. Hearken unto the voice of his word. Bless ye Jehovah, all ye hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless Jehovah, all ye his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless Jehovah, O my soul. And so, we know that God rules and reigns over all. His throne is established in the heavens. And then we come to Psalm 135, verses 5 and 6. Psalm 135, verses 5 and 6. Where is God? What is he doing right now? If you look at this psalm, the Lord is praised for his wonderful works in contrast to false idolatry. And in Psalm 135, verse 5, for I know that Jehovah is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever Jehovah pleases, that he hath done, in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all the deeps. He is great above all. And so God sitting on a throne is a picture of God ruling and reigning. A throne is a picture of someone who rules and reigns. Think about a king or a queen in an earthly way, sitting on a throne. It means dominion, rule, authority, power, sovereignty over all his creation. God on a throne tells us that he is Lord God Almighty. And that's what we learn here in this very Psalm 135, verse 5. He is great above all. He is over all. And so God sitting on a throne speaks of his ruling over all creation. And what that tells us is that all things that go on are ultimately in the hands of God, not man, not Satan, the devil. He is powerful. He certainly has an influence over many. But ultimately, God rules and reigns over all. And we need to remember that. Because I think today, friends, many people have a false idea of God, a false concept of God, and they forget that he is ruling and reigning on a throne. You know, there are several visions that are given in God's word to the prophets of God, and they wrote these visions down, and they were visions of heaven, and they are visions to remind mankind who God is, where he is, what he is doing in heaven on his throne. And I want to look at some of those this morning before we get into the particulars of our lesson. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6, for example. In Isaiah chapter 6, God appears to Isaiah in a vision to remind him of his greatness. And one thing that all of these visions have in common is that we have God sitting on a throne. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain or two he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is Jehovah of all hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And so we find God sitting in heaven, and he is clothed with holiness. He is clothed with majesty, and the angelic beings are serving him. And Isaiah said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, Jehovah of hosts. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel also got a vision of God in heaven and his greatness. In Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 26, and above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was a likeness as of the appearance of a man above it. And I saw, as it were, glowing metal, as the appearance of fire within it round about, from the appearance of his loins and upward, from the appearance of his loins and downward. I saw it as were the appearance of fire, and there was brightness round about him. And the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about him. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of Jehovah. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 7, not just Isaiah, not just Ezekiel, but also Daniel. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 7. And it's interesting that these passages that we're looking at all take place during times in the Old Testament when Israel was in trouble or about to go into captivity, Assyrian captivity with Isaiah, Ezekiel and Daniel, the Babylonian captivity, and when God's people have sinned and they're being punished and they're in captivity and they're suffering for their sins, as it were, they're being reminded of the greatness of God. So we have Isaiah 6, Ezekiel 1. Now turn to Daniel chapter 7 and verse 9. I beheld till thrones were placed, and one that was ancient of days did sit. His raiment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, and the wheels thereof burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands of thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000s times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld at that time, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and it was given to be burned with fire. And as for the rest of the beast, their dominion was taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. And I saw in the night visions, and behold, there came with the clouds of heaven one likened unto a son of man. And he came even to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and kingdom, and all the peoples, nations, and language should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom which shall not be destroyed. And so a picture of God, the Ancient of Days, on a throne, and a fiery stream coming forth from that, the might and the greatness of God pictured there. And then one likened unto a son of man, Jesus, coming to him. And the Ancient of Days gives him glory and dominion and a kingdom. And of course, the church, the Lord's kingdom in the New Testament, Jesus' church, his kingdom is given to him, and he has all authority from his Father. Turn with me now to the book of Daniel. We've just looked at the book of Daniel. Turn with me to the book of Revelation, where John is receiving a vision. All of these are visions to different prophets. We have Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and now John, who toward the end of the first century, the end of the New Testament period, the church is being persecuted by Rome. Christians are being persecuted for their beliefs, and they have to be reminded that God is in control. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1, John writes, "And after these things I saw, and behold, a door opened in heaven. And the first voice that I heard, a voice as of a trumpet speaking with me, one saying, Come up hither, and I will show thee the things which must come to pass hereafter. Straightway I was in the Spirit, and behold, there was a throne set in heaven, and one sitting upon the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper stone and a sardius, and there was a rainbow round about the throne like an emerald to look upon." This is very similar to the vision that Ezekiel had. Come on down to verse 5. "And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God." And then come on down to verse 8. "The different ones around the throne are crying out, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God the Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. When the living creatures shall give glory and honor and thanks to him that sitteth on the throne, to him that liveth forever and ever. And the 24 elders shall fall down before him that sitteth on the throne, and shall worship him that liveth forever and ever, and shall cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Worthy art thou, our Lord and our God, to receive the glory and the honor and the power, for thou didst create all things, and because of thy will they were and were created." God is on a throne, ruling and reigning. One last passage before we move on, and that is in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 1. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 1. This is at the end of the book of Revelation, where we've been told in the book that God is going to come and judge Rome for their persecution of Christians. In chapter 17 and 18, he brings judgment upon Rome for their persecution of the saints. And then we find the aftermath in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 1. And after these things, after Rome is judged, after these things, I heard, as it were, a great voice, a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belongeth to our God, for true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great harlot, Rome, her that corrupteth the earth with her fornication. He hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And a second time they say, Hallelujah, and her smoke goeth up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures fell down and worshipped God that sitteth on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came forth from the throne, saying, Give praise to our God and all his servants, ye that fear him, the small and the great. And so God sits on a throne. He is in heaven, but he brings judgments on his creation, including his own people. So God sits on a throne. Now, in the rest of our lesson this morning, I want us to consider this. Since God is sitting on a throne, he's ruling and reigning, we need to get the proper picture of God. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit in the remainder part of our lesson. If God is sitting on a throne, then he is not sitting somewhere else. And oftentimes, man, even religious individuals, even people who believe in God and love God and want to worship God, they have a false concept of who he is and where he is sitting. They have an idea in their own mind, but it does not match up with Bible truth. For example, God sits on a throne, not in a theater seat. And what I mean by that is, God is not sitting in a theater seat hoping to be entertained by his people. Some people get the idea that worship, for example, is all about something being entertaining, as if God were sitting out there in the audience. God is not a talent scout. God is not looking for us to be standing up and engaging in some sort of entertainment or some sort of show, and he's sitting there in the audience. God is on a throne. He's not in a theater seat. God is not a talent scout looking for us to get up and perform. A lot of worship services today are all about performance. The preacher or the speaker, he moves around and he says things in a way that is theatrical in nature to bring attention to himself. Sometimes you'll have a band or a choir or a chorus, and it's all about bringing attention to themselves. We need to remember that God is on a throne. He's not out in the audience looking for us to have some sort of talent. In John chapter 4 and verse 24, Jesus said, They that worship God must worship in spirit and in truth. We need to have the right attitude. We need to have the authorized actions. And we need to worship according to the New Testament principles. And you don't find anywhere in the New Testament, you certainly don't find any choruses or choirs or anything like that. You don't find the robes. You don't find dancing. You don't find ministers, speaking in a way that is bringing attention to themselves or some kind of a show. In fact, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 40 that all things must be done decently and in order. But sometimes today the worship service is like a three-ring circus. It's like an entertainment. And sometimes the speaker is up there and he's telling jokes and he's cutting up and there's some sort of entertainment provided. In some churches there is movies that are shown and video clips and there is different lighting and different kinds of activities. And sometimes even entertainment is brought in. We forget that God is on a throne, and we need to remember that, friends, and we need to worship God accordingly. In Hebrews chapter 12, when we come to worship God, we need to remember this, that we may offer service, Hebrews 12, 28, that we may offer service well-pleasing to God with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Our worship service needs to be reverent, not just a bunch of hoopla and entertainment and having a good time and more like a party atmosphere. It needs to be a reverent atmosphere because our God is to be worshipped with reverence and awe. Number two, God sits on a throne. He does not sit at a boardroom table where he casts a vote along with our vote, and we have input, and we get to cast our vote with God, and we get to give what we think and what we feel. He sits on a throne. He's not sitting at a boardroom table looking for our input and what we think and what we feel, our man-made laws. There are churches, big denominations, mainline churches, and we know that they will have human heads. And those heads and those men will sit down and they will make church law. They have church authority to make church law that is equal with the Bible. It's as if they're sitting down with a table with God and saying, okay, God, you have your input. It's called the Bible. And then we have our input. It's called church law. And it's all going to be equal. No, friends, God is on a throne and he does not give us authority to come up with things and introduce them into the name of religion. He gave his authority to Jesus and no one else. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, all authority hath been given to me. It wasn't given to Jesus and then some other man. There is no head. There's no earthly man or earthly head over the Lord's church today. There is nothing like that. All authority was given to Jesus. He did not turn around and give that authority to another man or woman or a board or a council or a conference. It is not given to anyone. All authority has been given to Jesus, and in the New Testament we have his words. We go to the New Testament for our authority. We don't sit down with God at a boardroom table and he's waiting for us to come up with things to add into what he has. That is just not the case. He sits on a throne. In 3 John in the New Testament, if you turn over to 3 John, a man by the name of Diotrephes, he lost sight of the fact that God is on a throne. In 3 John, John writes to correct a problem of Diotrephes. It says, he loves to have the preeminence. He receiveth us not. Therefore, if I come, I will bring to remembrance his works, which he doeth, prating against us with wicked words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and them that would he forbiddeth, and casteth them out of the church. Here's a man who's casting people out of the church. He's forbidding certain things. He's making up his own rules. He's in charge. He's in the driver's seat, and he's forgotten that God is on a throne. Number three, God sits on a throne. He does not sit in a musical chair. You remember that game we used to play as a child, musical chairs, and the chairs are all sitting around in the circle, and there's several of them, and while the music's going on, you're walking around in the circle, and as soon as the music stops, you gotta pick a chair and sit down real quick, and somebody didn't get a chair, and he's out of the game. We do not pick God out from all gods. And that's what's going on today with Islam and Buddhism and Shintoism and Hinduism. We have all these gods, and God is just one of many gods, and it doesn't matter if he's called Jehovah or Allah or Vishnu or whatever. They're all the same. Everybody's fine. Just pick one and go with it. No, God is on a throne. He is not in a musical chair where all gods are equal and fine and you just pick one. No. False gods are just that. They're false. They're figments of men's imagination. There is one true God, and we need to remember that. In Isaiah chapter 44, Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 6, thus says Jehovah, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, Jehovah of hosts, I am the first and the last, and besides me there is no God. And we need to remember that. And one of the problems that we're having today is that people are following false gods, and it's causing them to even kill and be violent toward others. They're not following the one true God. In Isaiah chapter 45, verses 5 and 6, I am Jehovah, and there is none else. Besides me, there is no God. I will gird thee, though thou hast not known me, and that they may know me from the rising of the sun and from the west, that there is none besides me. I am Jehovah, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I am Jehovah that doeth all these things. That's why we know there is one true God. These other false gods did not make the light. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He said, let there be light, and there was light. There is one true God, and it's the God of the Old Testament and New Testament. It's not these other false gods. And so Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 6 that there is one God and Father above all, who is in all and in you all. And so we need to remember that. He's on a throne. He's not just in a musical chair with all these other gods and you just pick one. And then last of all, God is on a throne. He is not in a lazy boy recliner. Some people have the attitude that God's up in heaven and he's kind of like this old grandpa who's unconcerned and he's up there in his lazy boy recliner and he doesn't really care what goes on and you can live any way you want and God is a God of love. You know, the New Testament teaches that and he is certainly that. But because he's up in heaven and he's kind of sitting there and he's sort of occupied with his own things, he doesn't really care what goes on down here and we can live and act and do anything we want. No, God is on a throne. He's not in a lazy boy recliner. We do not serve a God who is unconcerned about our behavior. Psalm 9 verse 7. Jehovah sitteth as king forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. He will judge the world in righteousness. He will minister judgment to the peoples in uprightness. And so God is not up in heaven unconcerned, uncaring about how we live. He sits on a throne and he is judging nations. He has judged them. He continues to judge them even now. Through his providence, he brings about judgments on people who do not live right. And in the judgment day, the last great judgment day, all nations will be gathered before him. All people of all time will be gathered before him. God sits on a throne. He's not in a lazy boy recliner, up in heaven asleep somewhere, unconcerned. Psalm 11 in verse 4, Jehovah is in his holy temple. Jehovah is in his throne. His throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try or test the children of men. Jehovah trieth the righteous, but the wicked in him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. And we certainly need to remember that today with all the violence going on. And then in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3, what is God doing up in heaven? Well, he's on a throne and he's watching and he cares about things. Proverbs 15 and verse 3. The eyes of Jehovah are in every place, keeping watch upon the evil and the good. God sees all. And he has a character about him is going to judge. And he's not in a lazy boy recliner. He's not in a rocking chair like an old doting grandfather who just allows anything and everything to go on. Paul said in Romans 11 and verse 22, behold the goodness and severity of God. God has a severe side. And if we're not living right, we're going to face that side. Well, friends, that's all for this morning for the Let the Bible Speak program. Why don't you come visit us this morning? There's still time to come visit us for our morning service this morning. We will continue to meet from 10 o'clock to 11. If you'd like to come, and this evening, you can still come for our evening service from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock. But we appreciate you joining in. And those who truly recognize that God is on his throne now will one day spend eternity with God around his throne in heaven. And that's what we encourage you to do. Let's live right. Let's obey him. And if we can help you along those lines, let us know. And we look forward to studying with you again next week on the Let the Bible Speak program. Have a good day.